Hi, Gabe. This is Henry Wollmeyer, President and CEO of the National Club Association. Congratulations on 100 episodes of Private Club Radio. NCA enjoys sponsoring the club perspective segments on your show every month, and it allows us to be an integral part of such an important industry resource. Private Club Radio provides in-depth club news and education in an exciting medium, which is a great way to reach the private club audience. As the industry's first and only regular podcast, you provide a groundbreaking format to conveniently share information with clubs. And whether I'm at home or on the go, it's always great to be able to hear from industry leaders. From all of us at the National Club Association, congratulations on your first 100 episodes of Private Club Radio, and we wish you continued success on your next 100.
Welcome to Private Club Radio, your weekly source for industry education, news, and discussion. Broadcasting from Tampa, Florida, ladies and gentlemen, here is your host, Rick Coffey.
Well, hello, everyone. And yes, this is Rick Coffey, and welcome to the 100th episode of Private Club Radio. Obviously, Gabriel Luisi has been with you for the last 99 straight weeks. And through that, he's battled various illnesses along the way and still delivered the content to us. And even when Hurricane Irma was bearing down on Tampa, he was there for us with a show. So I am here. I'm a good friend of Gabe, thankfully, and I just want to give him a little bit of a break. Now, Gabe is going to be joining us here in a moment, but I just wanted to set up the show for us here. What we want to do on the 100th episode is take a look back. Obviously, there's been a lot of great content, a lot of great guest speakers along the way, and I think it's a fitting show to have Gabe in the interview seat rather than doing the interviews. So I'm honored to be in the seat of interviewing Gabe today. We're going to take a look and try to find out more about Gabe, how the show came to be, the reach it has now across the world, really, and find out some of Gabe's recollections and takeaways from the shows in place. So with that, I don't want to steal the show anymore from the man, the myth, the legend, our founder, Gabriel Aloisi. Good morning, Gabe.
Hey, Rick. Thank you so much, man, for that great intro. It's an honor to be able to give you and all of our audience the valuable content that we've been able to share here for 99 weeks. So thank you for putting this show together.
You know, and I was joking a little bit about that, Gabe, but I do think that's one of the coolest things about this. I know you've had tough times with laryngitis and some sicknesses that you've had. Again, it's not a joking matter, but when Hurricane Irma was there in place, you stayed and you delivered a show on there. So thank you for that. As industry professional, I appreciate that the commitment you have to the show.
Yeah, thanks, man. Well, you know, when anyone starts a project like this, like a podcast or anything similar, it's like you probably start it in the beginning for yourself, but it really evolves quickly. That when I do this, I really do this for the listeners. And I think about, you know, if I was getting up, going to work on a Monday, Tuesday morning, whenever you listen to the show, and I wasn't, you know, my favorite guy wasn't there for me. Or, you know, the guy that I normally listen to each week just didn't show up that day, it would be kind of a bummer. And so, I always want to make sure that there's always a show there on Monday morning. Sometimes it's early. Sometimes I even get it up there Sunday night, but definitely by the end of the day on Monday, yeah. There'll be one.
That's a good point. I think for many of us, and I sort of keep track of the numbers looking at it each week. It seems like hundreds and hundreds of us have set a daily calendar on Monday morning, Monday afternoon, what it is. So I certainly agree with your point there. And I would commit to it, because there's a lot of us who want to hear it every month or every week. Sorry. So really do appreciate that. Well, let's talk about the reach since we're on that. I remember back, I mean, it may have been at the 30th, 50th show, you gave some numbers about how many people are listening, countries. Could you give us some updated numbers on the show?
Yeah, certainly. So I'm happy to announce that we crossed over 25,000 unique listeners in the last few months. And so what I mean by unique listeners is this is not just people who have listened to multiple episodes. This is somebody out there in the world. There's been more than 25,000 people who have listened to a very niche show. You know, I know plenty of podcasters out there that have audiences of hundreds of thousands, but in our industry, when you talk about there only being 6,500 or so private clubs in the whole world,
right?
I like to say that, you know, there's three or four people from every club out there that's listening
to
one episode. So to me, that's really cool.
I do too. And you've had multiple guests from the UK on, you know, and I'm assuming that'll probably continue as well. So it's really neat to see it not only be here in the States, but globally. That's pretty great.
I'd like to see it expand into some other continents. So if we do have listeners out in Asia and Africa and some of these other places, I would love to talk to you and talk about getting you on the show, because it's this show is most beneficial when we get perspectives from all sorts of places.
Yeah. Yeah. And leading into that, I mean, we're obviously, you and I are going to have a little bit of conversations about some different pieces, but you've had 99 guests, you know, on the show, and many of them reached out through Private Club Radio / inbox and recorded some thanks and some congratulations to you. So we're going to play a few of those here on the show. And I think one of your most charismatic listeners is going to kick us off, and it's going to be actually the longest clip, almost 5 minutes here, but I think it's all great, worth it. This is Michael Crandall. He's been on a couple shows. He'll let you know actually what shows he's on. Certified nice guy.
Hello, this is Michael Crandall, CNG. Just looking forward to saying a few great words about Gabe, because of Gabe, Private Club Radio is rapidly becoming recognized as a premier asset and ambassador of goodwill for the private club industry. Just a quick look back at the guest list of 100-ish programs is enough to establish its credibility. Some of the most instantly recognized and respected names in all the private clubs are insightfully interviewed by Gabe each week. For example, Gabe started out so strong right out of the chute when he had Rick Coyne, CEO of Private Club Marketing Association, and an icon in the industry as far as I am concerned. Started off strong with Rick. Then Dick Coughlin came right in. And Dick's somebody who, sure, he does great searches, but I respect him most for the governance and education that he's brought to private club board of directors around the country. Just huge behind-the-scenes things that have strengthened our industry. Whitney Reed, I've seen Whitney several times. I'm always impressed by the Reed Consulting Services she brings to the table. Jim McLaughlin came in from, he's president of the Troon Private Club Division at the time, offered great insights that you wouldn't get anyplace else. I love Susan Green. Not a name most of you'd know, but she was president of the Club Marketing Association at the time and gave incredible insights and enthusiasm what it takes in this day and age to market, retain, and go out and get new, younger members. Henry Wallmeyer, our new CEO, President of National Club Association, offers regular insights that are highly valued. Jackie Carpenter, for crying out loud, of private club advisors all over the map for a number of years, and the great things that she brings to our boards. Harvey Weiner, an icon, one of my favorites in all the industry of Search America, just gets a standing ovation from me, just the mention of his name. Greg Patterson, hey, a legend in his own mind. If you don't think so, just ask him. He'll tell you. He'll yell it to you. And you're in the tribe and you got the buzz with Greg. Unbelievable insights in the industry. Jeff Morgan, CEO Club Manager Association. Norm Spitzing, one of my all-time favorites as well. Master Club Advisor and a principal and senior partner in Master Club Advisors. Just does a great work. Loves the business as much as I do. I think the world of Norm. There's a guy named Rick Coffey. Rick Coffey. What about Rick? Oh, yeah. He's got his finger on the delete button for this interview. How do I do it? I mention your name, Rick? By the way, rumor has it, of all the programs, it's number 14 and program number 64. They're both off the charts. So just tell me just what is in your briefcase. Don't forget, 14, 64. All the while, even with all these icon names I've mentioned, it's Gabe himself who's slowly and confidently become a recognized expert in industry as well. His book on marketing and what it takes in this steady age to really attract younger members and keep them into the club is astonishingly strong, and I've distributed copies of his books to clubs that I've retained me for operational guidance. Every Monday, Private Club Radio releases yet another great interview, and it's a collection of things now that are must listen to experiences every week for all serious professionals in the industry. In fact, board members need to listen to it as they're starting to get a better feel for the incredible skill sets and organization it takes to truly operate a great club. Keep in mind that all of these great interviews, as well as those coming up, are continuously 24/7 available and can easily be forwarded to industry peers as well as sharing with board members. whenever there's touchy issues that need to be brought to the attention of key board members or staff, yet maybe it's not a good idea for the club manager to deliver it directly. All you got to do is forward one of the programs that Gabe so adeptly brings in interviews and send it and let them deliver the message for you. You know, over the years, many various industry print magazine articles are shared with our board. But Gabe has taken the concept of spreading the insightful insights of icons of the industry, and he's done it through Private Club Radio, and he's successfully expanded this concept to new heights. So, Gabe, congratulations from me personally, and a great big thank you from the Private Club industry as a whole. And one last thing, by the way, your lucky numbers today are program number 14 and 64. Thanks, Gabe.
Awesome. What do you think about that, Gabe?
He really drives those numbers home. I love it. Yeah, no, he mentioned some of the all-time, some of my favorite episodes on there.
Well, don't get into that quite yet.
I know, but he did allude to some of them, and yeah, it's just been a pleasure.
Yeah, and I got to thank Michael for that too. I didn't ask him to obviously give a recap, but like that, but I thought it was a perfect sort of setup to the show of somebody who obviously does know the industry so well to obviously believe so much in the show and give us a recap like that. That was wonderful. So I want to
trick though, because okay. You know, when I started the show, I didn't think that, you know, I wasn't sure if this would actually catch on or not, you know, and it was because of people like Michael and yourself and, you know, people like Rick Coyne and Jeff Morgan who came on the show and did really lend it credibility in the beginning that's why it's been so successful, because you guys really raised the bar and just started to share some of those great insights that you had.
Well, yes, and that's what I want to go into next. I really have never asked you a couple of these questions here. How did Private Club Radio come to mind for it? Can you walk us through that?
Sure. Well, I have a good friend here locally in Tampa. His name's Chris Kremitzos, and for years he was like, Gabe, you got to start a podcast. And so I don't know why in the beginning, but I decided to go with kind of a broad podcast. I called it the Branding Podcast, and it was pretty successful. We did 19 episodes. But it got to be the point where I just kind of ran out of things to say about it. And so I wanted to really transition into something that I was passionate about, which was private clubs and the golf industry. So I thought about it, started kind of just floating the idea at some conferences. I think it was one PCMA conference in Nashville. I floated the idea to you and a couple others and, you know, said, you know, what do you think of this? And everybody was like, wow, you know, the industry could really use that. The real impetus behind it was there are some great publications in the industry. There's some great magazines,
right?
Read publications. I think of like ones I read, like Boardroom Magazine, mm-hmm. Club Perspectives, and the McMahon Report. And there's so many of these great publications out there, but there was nothing that I could see that you could just consume on demand passively. And that's the great thing about a podcast, I thought, was that you can listen to it passively. So if you're commuting to work, if you're working out, if you're taking a jog or just walking around the club, or if you're shuffling paperwork in your office, you could listen to the show even in the background and passively consume it. And I thought that would be just a powerful way to spread the message. Plus the portability of a podcast. You know, the fact that the show has now been listened to in 150 countries still blows my mind, you know?
Yeah.
To see places, you know, just random countries, like somebody in Angola was listening to the show. It's just wild that happens. And so that's pretty much how it came about.
Yeah. That's excellent. I didn't know the story behind it, but I mean, I have to honestly tell you, I mean, we joke around a lot, but I mean, I love the private club industry. You can tell Michael Crandall loves it. The others that we'll talk to, we love it. And it was, I mean, I wrote and I read, you know, different pieces, but to have something now audible in my ears that I could set something to, it really was something I think the industry was starving for. So again, thank you for that. And just to push it a little bit further, I really, to be honest, I've been in the private club industry since 2007, and I really hadn't heard of Gabriel Aloisi until, I mean, just I think it's only been a few years now. What was your background? Did you just like to play golf? And then, what was it, honestly?
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, I did grow up loving the game of golf. My father was formerly a PGA professional. He was a club pro up in Massachusetts, and he had taught me the game as a kid. So I started playing when I was 3 years old and just loved golf. When I was in high school, And in college, all my friends worked at private clubs. They were the bag boys, the locker room attendants, and whatnot. And so I used to play at a lot of these clubs on Mondays when the staff got to play. A couple in particular, the Eagle's Nest, which is Towson Golf and Country Club up in Towson, Maryland, was one. I had a friend who was an assistant professional at PV Dye in Maryland. And so we used to get to play these really awesome courses. And my whole life, I said, man, I'd love to be a member of a private club someday.
Right.
So I joined my first ever private club when I was, I took a year off. I took a year off from when I was working for somebody before I transitioned to becoming an entrepreneur and a business owner. I took a year off to really kind of get my mind right. And I lived in this tiny little island in Siquijor in the Philippines, it's called. The island of Siquijor is about 30 miles from one end to the other. It's tiny, about 80,000 people live on this island. And I was there with a good friend of mine who was also taking a year off, and then my uncle lived on this island. Well, both of them had to go back to the United States to take care of some personal matters. And pretty much for the first time in my life, I was left completely all alone in a place where I didn't know, basically knew nobody, and in this remote place that takes 2 or 3 days to even get to, because you have to take plane rides and boat rides and ferry rides just to get to this place. So it was like literally the middle of nowhere. I always loved sports, and again, you know, was drawn to things like tennis and basketball and things like that. And so there wasn't a golf course on this particular island because it's so small. But there was a tennis club, and I was playing basketball one day at the gym, just trying to, you know, kill time. Basically, is what I would do when I with nothing else to do. And one of the guys I was playing with, he was a firefighter and kind of a guy you would see a lot in town because of that. And he said, "Gabe, you know, we have this tennis club. You know, it's literally like right around the corner because this place is pretty small." He says, "The Siquijor Tennis Club, and you should come over and play." And so I did that. I went and played with him. They always played doubles there because there was one court. It was like supposedly a play court, but really it was like a dirt court. There was one little building, which was our clubhouse, which nobody ever really went in. And there was one staff person of this
club. Holy darn. Wow.
It cost me all of about, I mean, I can't remember exactly. I want to say between $10 and $25 was the initiation fee. Which is a lot of money, actually, on this little tiny island. That people paid rent of like a 75 pesos, which was like $1.50. That was their rent for a month in some places. Anyway, it was to them, it was a lot of money. To me, it was, you know, obviously, you know, pocket change. But joined my first private club, and just the relationships I built there. And what's amazing is that little tiny club in this podunk island in the middle of nowhere, it's the same as any of the biggest clubs you've ever walked into. It's what do you get when you walk in there? It's a sense of belonging, community. And that was the first private club. But now I belong to Carrollwood Country Club here in Tampa, Florida, one of Concert Golf's properties. And, you know, there's 1,200 members. We got beautiful pools and recreations. But at the core of it, it's all the same thing, right? It's all about relationships, about meaningful interactions. And so I've always loved that about the private club industry.
That's great. I mean, I didn't know that story, but hopefully they're a listener of ours out on that island if radio waves get there or internet signals get there. But yeah, you talked about some, you know, the guests on here, and we do have our second recording coming in, and he's a gentleman that you have a class with called the Master Class, Norm Spitzig.
Hi, Gabe. Norm Spitzig here. I just want to congratulate you on your 100th episode of Private Club Radio. You know, it's been fun working with you. We've done masterclass together. I've been a guest twice on Private Club Radio, and it's just been great. This last couple of years, you've done outstanding contributions to the world of private clubs, and I'm just proud to be your buddy. I really like your definitive guide to membership marketing. That's done really, really well, and it's a book that I recommend to people all the time. You know, we just started working together. We just got back from Pittsburgh, where we're on the same ticket speaking, and we've got some things planned in the future. I'm getting wordy, but I just want to really congratulate you on a fantastic creation, Private Club Radio, and I know it's only going to grow and get better in the months and years to come. Thanks.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was very cool. I was expecting all the clips to be 5 minutes like Michael Crandall's, but the Norm kept it a little bit less. I didn't have this actually on the lineup for the show, but he mentioned the book there, you know, and you know, I have it here in my possession as well, The Definitive Guide to Membership Marketing. I think it's important because, again, the show has reached a lot of us. you know, but now you've taken it a step deeper for a lot of us who are in the sales role, either at clubs or for technology companies like myself. Talk about the book. How did that come to be? It seemed, again, like you just came out of nowhere with a book that's really been revolutionary.
Yeah, it was, to be honest, a little out of nowhere for me. I ended up writing that book in 25 days. I just pretty much
unbelievable
locked myself away.
Wow.
thank God I have a wonderful wife, Anna, who you know, watched the kids for me and really picked up a lot of slack while I was working on that book. I just woke up one day in January this year and I said, you know, again, what's missing out there? What could people really use? And so I thought that, you know, a way to market your membership, you know, in our industry, marketing is a dirty word. And I wanted to show that marketing is not a dirty word. And if you do things right, you can build your membership in a sustainable way. And, you know, there, again, just wasn't a lot of literature in the industry. And I thought that it would fill a gap. And again, it shocked me. Honestly, I thought when I wrote the book, I was like, you know, maybe there's a few hundred people out there who would actually read this thing. But again, to me, it was worth it. You know, even if 200 people read it. So, you know, we did a little pre-order for the book, which I know you participated in, some others. And we actually sold out my first 100 copies of the book very quickly. And so, and it really caught fire. And to date, I think we've got to be near almost 1,000 copies sold.
Congratulations.
Which again, you know, was double what I ever thought would ever, you know, be in the history of this thing. And so we're only about 6 months in. And so it's been really successful. But again, I think it was just filling the void that existed and being able to give people solid information and something actionable, because there's a lot of fluff out there as well, you know, and or people want to hold back their best ideas and things. And I always say, I want to be a person of value. I want to give you my best, no matter how you find me, whether it's the book, through the radio show, but you're going to get my best ideas. I'm not going to hold anything back. Yeah. If you need help along the way, yeah, I'm here to help guide some of clubs that, you know, can't take the steps on their own. But if you are a do-it-yourselfer, you could. So
No, it's very cool. I mean, your book, even though, again, our industry is somewhat small and really isn't growing fast, relationship marketing is something that translates to all sorts of different industries. So I'm guessing that your book is crossing over, you know, into those kind of categories as well. It's an easy read. I like that about it as well. So again, just wanted to mention that. Congratulations to it. And I think it's all just part of, I mean, you're infectious in the fact of, like you said, in our industry, things have sort of been stagnant for a long time. You hear the same sort of content, and then all of a sudden, a guy like you pops up in the industry and giving us all these new channels. Really do appreciate that as well. Let's talk about, you know, you've done 99 of these shows. I mean, is there any favorite episodes for any rhyme or reason, you know, that have stick in your mind?
Well, first off, anything starring Rick Coffey at the top of the list.
I should have mentioned that. Let's, you know, that's a given. Let's go beyond Rick Coffey.
But I will say, I mean, I remember when we did our first episode of the first thing we did, I guess, was an interview, right? We did was the show the
six episode, yeah.
And then we started doing our first inbox, and I was like, you know, we're gonna, you know, I know the first one's gonna be a little clunky, but I said, Rick, you know, if you and I keep doing this,
yeah,
we're good at it. And I think the last two or three,
so fun, incredible.
Really, since the national conference, I don't, which was in Kansas City. What was that? Was that episode 4 or 5 of the inbox? That one. From then on, I thought we really like hit our groove.
Yeah.
So I really, honestly, that's one of the ones. Anytime we're talking is one of the episodes.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
Some other ones that stand out. Actually, Michael mentioned Miles Tucker, which was episode number 18. He really approaches the private club from almost like a branding perspective, which, as a branding guy, my background in branding and marketing, I really enjoyed that one.
Right.
Joe Kren, episode 56, had a ton of insights. He's the general manager at Farmington Country Club. And Michael also mentioned it, but Jim McLaughlin from Troon was episode number 28. And he, as Michael mentioned, just, it was so outside the box, some of the things that he mentioned, or just ideas that you don't, literally, you just hear anyone else talking about. And he had a really unique perspective. So definitely recommend everybody check those out. And the list could go on, obviously.
Yeah.
Episodes, Norm's episodes, they're all awesome. But those are just a few of the ones that stood out for me.
No, I appreciate that. Again, talking about the inbox, there's been a few now spinoffs. You know, you talk about popular TV shows. Well, you might get a spinoff or two off of that. And it's sort of happened from this, obviously with us with the inbox. But now, you know, you have Norm with the master class, and the next guy who's got a recording to congratulate you and thank you also has one called Board Chats. And that's the CEO of Concert Golf, Peter Nanula.
Hey, Gabe. It's Peter Nanula from Concert Golf Partners. Hey, I wanted to wish you a happy 100th episode of Private Club Radio. I think what you're doing is a great service to the industry, and I'm happy to be a part of it. Keep doing what you're doing. We need more education. We need everyone to keep learning more about the tricks of the trade. Thanks for spreading the word, Gabe.
Yeah, Peter's awesome, you know, and I know that you have a great relationship with him as well, but that's what I dislike. I mean, we get the 99 weekly episodes about different topics, but there's a few core areas, and obviously boardroom, you know, meetings, which Peter can talk about, and the masterclass with Norm. It sort of, we get to come back to those, you know, monthly, quarterly, whatever it is. I think it all works together, and I think you'd agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is with any show like this, it's a ton of work. And so your company, Club Essential, really was the first one who decided that they were going to partner with Private Club Radio. So I always thank you for that. It really came from you, Rick. But, you know, right from the beginning, actually, if you listen to the first few times we actually had 30-second commercials and things on this
show. Oh, right. Yes. I don't
know if any of the listeners remember that, but I quickly realized, I was like, a 30-second commercial really doesn't deliver any value. You know, it's just something you want to skip, you want to tune out. So in partners like Peter and Norm and the National Club Association, our current partners, and I call them partners, not sponsors specifically, because I really do see them as partners, by having a 5 or 10 minute segment with them where they're again delivering value that that you're not going to get anywhere else. And so it's not something you want to tune out, because they're giving incredible information. My favorite episodes are some of those where Norm and Gary Collins, his partner, are you know, just giving us stuff that you don't hear anywhere else. It's incredible. And so it's just so much more powerful than a 30-second commercial.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that, and I hope the listeners do as well.
Yeah. How about talking to us a little bit? I mean, we hear the 30, 40-minute show every week, and we sort of take that for granted. And even though I'm doing this interview with you, you're going to be the one chopping it all up and editing it and all those kind of things. Is it a hard process week to week? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, when I first started the show, I'd say it was about a 5-hour process between booking the guests, recording the show, editing the show, adding in the music and the narration and everything. And I've switched off where I've had other editors do it, but most often I do it myself. I'd say 99% of the time I'm doing it myself. And I've gotten it to the point where it takes me about, now I'd say the process is down to about 2 hours a week.
Okay.
But that, again, doesn't talk about getting into the promotion of the episode.
Right.
And so forth. That's just the episode itself. So, but I think I've gotten it to be a lot more manageable, at least. It can be pretty time consuming.
Any funny one or stories about any edits of something making the show that you didn't expect, or anything that you can shed light on?
Well, even just this last week, I don't know, whoever the early listeners are, they get to hear stuff that other people.
I heard it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Just this last week, I messed up, and I said, okay, I'm going to re-record that, but yeah. I forgot to edit that part out because I was rushing. So the early listeners like you, Rick, get to hear that stuff. If you listen to it on Tuesday, Wednesday, usually I've listened to the episode myself and gone back to make the edits. But actually, there's a podcast event called PodFest, and again, it's run by that same friend of mine, Chris Kremitzos, in Orlando. But they had an award show actually last year, and I won an award for like the biggest mess up or something.
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah.
It's kind of like the Raspberries where they give a funny things. And so I actually, on one of the days I was really sick and my voice was tight, it was the winter time. I was trying to just warm. I was like, well, I know like singers and stuff warm their voices up. So I was like, I'll try that. So as like the music was playing And the announcer comes on to hear me going, la, 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 just doing all this crazy stuff. And I
how actually, now, Bronco?
I left it in the episode. I was there for at least a day. And so I don't know if you heard that one, but...
I think I did.
A few people certainly did, because I think 50 or 100 people had listened to it by the time I was able to go in and up, re-update the track. So
yeah,
mess-ups happen a lot.
Oh, it's fun. And then on our last inbox, you surprised me with a finish to our show of that I wasn't expecting as well. Yeah. Not sure if many people caught that in inbox 7. It's almost like staying for the credits.
Right.
Got a little thing there. So that was nice to hear. Well, let's go to another sort of
experience.
Yeah, Dan Schmitz of KE Camps. Thank you. He gave the I became Chuck Norris for a segment on there. So, but let's talk a little bit, and we're going to go into another clip here. But Private Club Radio sort of expanded a little bit into the Golf Radio Network, or maybe a sister show there. And I know one of the gentlemen on that on Wednesdays is Ricky Potts. Is Golf Radio Network still up and running, Gabe?
Yeah. In fact, I plan on devoting a lot more attention to it here in the fall and winter time. Ricky, I was a fan of his show, the hashtag Wednesday Match Play. It's a YouTube channel, and he also has a big active community on Google. He has the biggest golf community. It's called Plus Golf on Google. There's over 25,000 or so people that belong to that page. And so I just saw him as, again, somebody else who had a ton of potential in terms of influence. And he didn't have a podcast. And I said, well, and I actually went down to play golf with him at his property, Tiburon in Naples, which is gorgeous. Okay. Remastered one of their courses. I think it's the Black Course. But while we were playing, I talked to him and I said, you know, Ricky, you don't have a podcast right now. What would you think about kind of teaming up? I'm thinking about creating a network and getting some more hosts. And so Ricky said yes to it almost immediately. And I love his show, which as a podcast airs every Thursday morning because he records it Wednesday evening. The podcast comes out on Thursdays, but I'm actively looking to find some more hosts. In fact, I was going to talk to you, Rick, about doing a show on the Golf Radio Network as well, in addition to tuning off the inbox.
Well, yeah, I think, just expanding what you do, you know, the semi-privates, the publics, there's a lot out there. And so, yeah, I think just pushing this further would be great.
Well, a lot of those people will someday become private club members. Hopefully. Right.
Well, Ricky did send in his thank yous and congratulations in a little clip. Do you mind playing that for us?
I've been listening to Private Club Radio for a long time and was excited to finally meet Gabe when I moved to Southwest Florida. Since then, Gabe has appeared on my YouTube show, the Hashtag Wednesday Match Play, presented by Eat Sleep Golf, and we have played several rounds of golf together. I one day hope to become a private club general manager, and the content that Gabe continues to produce is helping me to reach my goals. I want to thank Gabe for more than just his great content and the growth of Private Club Radio. I also want to thank him for allowing me to be a part of the Golf Radio Network and for spending time with me on and off the golf course. I hope to spend more time with him, and I'm honored to call such a distinguished gentleman my friend. Gabe, keep doing what you're doing, and here's to the next 100 episodes.
Very cool. You know, I think that's the case. Hopefully you take away from this and the promotion that's come around this. I do think you've impacted a lot of us, you know, and I mean, there's been so much content, and I know it's probably difficult for you after 99 episodes of trying to freshen it up with different kinds of things. But I just think you've done such a good job with it.
Yeah. Thank you, Rick. And you know, it's people like you, people like Ricky that I could instantly recognize. You guys have star power, but you know, whether you even recognize it or not, I certainly, when I started it, I hated my voice. I didn't, you know, I was very nervous when I was, if you listen to Rick Coyne's interview, Dick Copeland, some of those early interviews, I was really horrible. At least I thought I was. I was reading all my questions, word for word, I would type.
Right.
Now I can really flow with it. But you guys, I could see that you guys, you and Ricky and some other folks, really had just a natural way, you know, exuberance, and you were passionate, and you can't buy that kind of stuff. And so that's why I really enjoyed having you guys as part of this as well.
I do. Every week I listen, I sort of marvel at it. I mean, I'm not a good interviewer like yourself. I mean, you work through it really well, and I think you were great from the beginning, honestly, there. And
that's the difference. I was a great
okay. So each week, what I do, I'll just take you inside my calendar. I set it for 3:30 Central Time every Monday. I listen to the show, and I have a pad of paper in front of me, and whatever the content, whoever the speaker is, I take notes on it and everything. And I'm sure you've probably done the same thing because you're obviously asking the questions. Is there one, two nuggets that you sort of taken away from a show or two that stuck with you of going, wow, that was gold? Anything come to mind?
Yeah, totally. I'm just going to read you a few quotes. Okay. That I grabbed. First off, Jackie Carpenter, she had a great quote on the show. Don't focus on the can'ts, focus on the can-dos.
I remember that. Yep.
That was a really good one. Let's see. Susan Green, who Michael also mentioned, her quote really helped to inspire the entire book, to be honest.
I'll be darned.
It inspired talks. It inspired blog posts.
What was that?
As a membership director, your goal is not always to get the check. It's to move the sale forward.
Right.
And I just always thought that was just a wonderful piece of advice because a lot of times as quote unquote salespeople, we're always trying to get to the point where they're signing on the dotted line and it's really
missing. Nope. Just need an answer. Yes or no.
Let's see. Jim McLaughlin's quote, a club is a Facebook for real. We are trying to get like-minded people to connect around a social platform. I love
Very
it.
Cool.
Well, yeah. No, there's so many. I mean, the list.
Yeah. No, that's good. You know, I think that's wonderful. And I just encourage, and probably they do, but if you're just listening and really not writing stuff down, you know, I think things can be impactful there. I mean, that what you mentioned about Susan Green, I've told that many times to when I do some of my consulting work, that is for a salesperson. It is basically everybody thinks that you always need a yes, you know, and it's not. You're just always trying to get an answer. You know, if you can get an answer one way or the other from somebody, that's great. And yeah, Susan, I remember writing that one down.
Yeah, it was great.
Well, let's play our last clip, and then we'll talk about maybe the future, and then we'll wrap up the show here. But Dan Schmitz, one of our collective friends, owner of KE Camps, he wanted to say thank you and hello. So let's play that clip.
Cool.
Gabe, congratulations on your 100th episode. It's Dan Schmitz from KE Camps, and I think I speak on behalf of many people in the industry when I say thank you for starting the podcast. You're truly bringing together the industry in a new and exciting way. I feel honored that I was your third guest on the show and honored to call you a friend. Congratulations.
Yeah. Dan was actually the first guest I ever booked, believe it or not. I mean, his episode aired to episode 3, but a lot of times episodes will air out of order when I actually do them. So he was, so if you want to hear how bad of an interviewer I was, that's probably the episode to listen to.
That's funny. He's such a good guy, you know, and again, I want to hammer this home. I mean, we have a lot of fun. We razz on each other, Dan and I, and you know, and you and I were at the PCMA conference this month ago, and we sort of just run together and everything. But I do. I want everybody to know, you know, we joke and do a lot together, but I think everybody truly just thanks you for this because we're all passionate about the same industry and we've never had a vehicle like this each week. So again, for about the 15th time, thank you for what you've been doing.
Yeah. Well, it's my honor, honestly. And just, I love doing it every Monday morning. And I look forward to it now.
So what's 101 through 200? Anything new that you're scoping out?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's just going to be continuing on finding thought leaders out there that have interesting things to say. And again, you know, when I started this podcast, I thought, well, you know, what happens if I run out? You know, we say everything there is to be said in 15, 20 episodes, you know, and it hasn't been that way at all, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Every single interview almost leads to 5 more questions. It's kind of running down the rabbit hole. And there's so many talented people out there from all sorts of walks of life and areas of the world. We got managers, membership directors, board members, members of clubs, and they all have something to say. I would probably like to start to feature and get member stories and things like that, which I think would be impactful, and talk to more board members and committee members as well. But I'm always open to getting pitched, and I see a lot come through. Most of the times I say yes, because that's just, you know, when the universe calls, you say yes. And so when people pitch a story to me, as long as it's it seems like it could be of value to people, I always put them on the show. And I'm not one of these people who's like, oh no, you got to pay to be on the show or something like that.
Right.
If someone has something interesting and valuable to say that will help the listeners, I'd love to tell the story.
No, that's great. Yeah, I remember just recently, I mean, it was one of your last interviews, Lisa Brantley, who's an influencer on social media platforms. I mean, in the beginning, when I reached out to her, I wasn't sure how you were going to frame that for Private Club Radio, but just seeing the reaction that I've seen coming off of that was very cool to see. It's just something that I think a lot of the listeners probably never thought about, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, thank you for setting that interview up. Actually, if folks don't know who were listening to this, Rick actually introduced me to Lisa, and I was actually in the same boat. But I'm a curious person, and I think that it worked perfectly in the end because she had a lot of wonderful things to say about how clubs can use influencers to really elevate their message.
Yeah, I think it's sort of a little testing ground, you know, on how that went. But again, the response, I believe, was overwhelming to that of people just saying, "Wow, that was great." Well, thank you, Gabe. Again, I just keep saying that. This was fun. I appreciate you honestly asking me to do so, of hosting this. I just wish you the best. Just know that there's a lot of us out there who need this. You know, it's gone past just wanting it. It's part of our weekly routines. It's part of our passion for the industry. So when you're struggling, you know, whether it's physically, mentally about putting this together, just know that your efforts are really paying off and we really need this now.
I appreciate it, Rick. And that's what fuels me for sure. Absolutely.
So I think, could you send us off with your normal Private Club Radio ending?
Oh, sure. Until next week, here's to your membership success.
Awesome.